Many people associated with the teachings of mainstream Christianity undoubtedly believe that when a person dies, there are two basic options in front of the deceased. Either they're carried off into heaven, or they make their descent into an ever-burning hell. United Church of God, we do not believe in these options. But someone might turn to a specific parable of Jesus Christ to support that belief. So let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And we're just going to go through it and then we'll talk about it. Luke 16, starting in verse 19. And we're going to be the topic on Lazarus and the rich man. There was a certain rich man clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day, and a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, was buried. And verse 23, in the King James, in hell, we'll talk about this verse later, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He sees Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried. He said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that they would come from there." Well, he said, I pray you, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Well, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let him hear them. But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, then they would repent." Well, he said to them, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." So an argument would be, here you go. Both men died. Lazarus is okay. He meets Abraham in heaven. And the rich man is facing hell. I mean, could it be any plainer, you know, to support that belief that we talked about as we started off? Like a lot of biblical passages, let's be careful to closely examine what it says and what it doesn't say. First, we learned that a rich man who had everything he needed versus Lazarus, who was outside of his home. He's a sick, starving beggar. The rich man wouldn't lift a finger to help him. And to grasp the spiritual significance of this story, we need to understand the context in which it was presented. Just prior to this parable by Christ, we read about another parable about the unjust steward, which begins with the phrase, "There was a certain rich man." Right? This is very much on Christ's mind. And the Pharisees were listening to what Jesus said. Let's just say, look at 14. This is after that prior parable in Luke 16, 14. The Pharisees also, who were covetous, they heard all these things and they derided him. Yeah, these, you know, religious leaders of the day sneered at Christ because they knew that he was talking to them, even though it was said in a parable. And of course, this wasn't the first time that Jesus took to task those Pharisees self-absorbed in their greed and corruption. We know even in Matthew 23, Christ said that they were devouring widows' houses, and they were, quote, full of extortion. So the context in which the parables of Lazarus and the rich man could be understood involves a person's responsibility to use money and wealth properly, which includes caring for the needs of other people. Let's take a look at verse 22 specifically. It says, it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. So what does that phrase mean, carrying into the bosom of Abraham? Really, the Webster's New Bible, New World Dictionary, notes that the human bosom or breast is, a quote, the source of feelings or the seat of innermost thoughts. So being like in a person's bosom, that phrase means that that individual is really cherished, really cherished. For example, in Deuteronomy 13:6, it says a man's wife is spoken as, quote, the wife of your bosom in the King James, right? A close, intimate relationship. So Lazarus is carried to Abraham's bosom, indicates that he had a real connection with this righteous man, for sure, Abraham, the friend of God. But the rich man, he was consumed with himself and his possessions to have a relationship with God. But where will Abraham be when Lazarus is carried to him? Is it in heaven, as some would say? Well, we have to go just a few pages back in Luke chapter 13, because we just have to understand, you know, what is the reward of the saved, so to speak. Luke 13, verse 27 and 28. Christ said, I tell you, I know not where you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Verse 28. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in heaven? No. It says in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. These words really, really apply to the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Christ told the Pharisees that they were on the path to being kept out of the kingdom of God. Nothing to do with heaven per se. Certainly, Abraham, the father of the faithful, will be in God's kingdom. And yeah, it's not going to be established in heaven, but the Bible explains that God's kingdom will be established on earth when Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom on the earth. You know, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. And the resurrected saints, including Abraham, will reign with Christ as kings and priests on the earth. We read that in Revelation 5, verse 10. So let's go back to the parable, Luke 16, clear up some other things. It says, in the King James, it says in hell. In the New King James, it says in Hades. The rich man lifted up his eyes. He was being in torment. He sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Well, after death, the rich man awakens in Hades, which is in the Greek. It's simply the grave. It's the grave. It has nothing to do with any kind of fire, per se. It's the grave. It's just saying that he awakens after death from the grave, and then he's facing something, in a sense, worse, because now he is facing eternal death in the lake of fire, which is the flame that is talked about, that he's worried about. We won't have time to turn to other scriptures, but the lake of fire is, you know, the ultimate death, the second death. That's what the rich man in the parable is facing now. Christ explains to Lazarus, he had a tough life, but it's implied that he died in the faith while the rich man led that evil life. Verse 26, It says, besides this, between you and us, there's a great gulf, a great divide, so that they which would pass from you cannot. They that can pass to you, okay, there's a gulf, there's a wide separation. What is that gulf? Well, it's kind of really the way the two ways of life end up for all human beings. At the end of the day, when all is judged, there's really eternal death versus eternal life. And talk about a gulf, right? Talk about the incredible gulf that is there. And that's what the rich man was facing. He was facing that ultimate death, the second death. It's interesting, the rich man in the parable, he's like, hey, can you at least warn my five brothers about what's going to happen to them, right, if they don't repent? And in verse 31, he said to them, you know, they didn't hear Moses. They didn't hear the prophets, which were total God's representatives. It was the word of God that they spoke. He says, they're not going to be persuaded, even though someone rose from the dead. You know, even though you went, Abraham or Lazarus, you know, anyone raised from the dead would go. He said, it really wouldn't make a difference. So evil were they in their thoughts. So to sum things up, the parable is clearly about the dangers of being a selfish, hoarding attitude when you're in a position to help others, and the warnings behind that. Certainly contains powerful lessons, really, for anyone, for us as well, with respect to what God desires for us in this lifetime. We need to learn to be givers, to be merciful to others, especially those in need.